from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. With less than 2 weeks to go before the deadline to enroll in health plans under the Affordable Care Act, California is close to signing up 1 million people. State health officials are making one final push to get more young people and Latinos to enroll. In a teleconference yesterday, Peter Lee, the head of the state's insurance marketplace Covered California, made a point of noting the ACA's sign-up deadline of March 31st happens to be the anniversary of the birthday of labor icon Cesar Chavez.
Recognizing how important health care is as a social justice issue, as an equity issue, really goes to the roots of the work that Cesar Chavez did in the Central Valley and across California.
Covered California has enlisted the aid of another labor icon, Dolores Huerta, who along with Chavez founded the National Farm Workers Association back in the 1960s. The closure of the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station opened a big hole in the power portfolios of Southern California's two biggest utilities. San Onofre's operator, Southern California Edison, spent a fair bit of time fighting unsuccessfully to reopen the plant. But now the question is how to plug the hole. KPCC's Ed Joyce has more on a key vote yesterday by state regulators.
The Public Utilities Commission voted unanimously Thursday on a plan allowing Southern California Edison and San Diego Gas and Electric to replace the power lost when the nuclear plant went dark. The two utilities combined would be allowed to procure up to 1,500 megawatts of additional energy, with at least 40% coming from preferred resources, including renewable energy, added efficiency, and conservation. The remaining 60% can come from other sources, including natural gas-fired power plants. The Sierra Club of California says the CPUC left too much room for the utilities to choose between dirty gas or clean energy. But Sierra Martinez, who covers California energy issues for the Natural Resources Defense Council, says despite some shortcomings, the decision takes the state on a path for clean energy use.
And it was, hands down, a big step in the right direction for the CPUC to take, authorizing all these preferred resources and allowing clean energy resources to do the lion's share of the work.
Martinez called the decision a groundbreaking step toward avoiding a significant number of fossil-fueled power plants. Southern California Edison's Mark Nelson says the company is looking at a mix of replacement energy sources.
Southern California Edison has a solicitation out right now, and so there'll be a number of different resources that come in through there, so it's too early to really be able to say what the winning bids will be and what types of plants and what types of other resources there'll be.
The power from the northern San Diego County nuclear plant stopped in January 2012 after a radiation leak led to the discovery of unusual wear to hundreds of tubes carrying radioactive water. Edison decided to close the plant last year. The facility is now in the early stages of decommissioning. For the California Report, I'm Ed Joyce in Los Angeles.
This weekend, state Republicans meet for their annual convention. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief Scott Detrow has this preview.
Party Chair Jim Brulte doesn't mince many words.
The Republican Party has been in decline in California for two decades. People understand that, and those that don't haven't been paying attention.
Brulte took over as the head of the California Republican Party a year ago. He says things have been getting better since then. The GOP paid off a $1.3 million debt and can point to victories in special elections like the San Diego mayor's race.
We know we're the minority party. We know the other side has far more resources than we do. But we know if we pick our battles and skirmishes right, we can best the Democrats.
Those skirmishes include assembly and Senate races that Brulte and other Republican leaders say could end Democrats' supermajority holds on the state legislature. Republican strategist Rob Stutzman thinks the party can pick off a couple congressional seats, too.
But, you know, listen to how I'm defining success. It's in small increments. You look at the statewide ballot, and it's unlikely that we'll have a Republican gubernatorial candidate who's well-known or well-funded.
And this fall, Republicans may not have any well-established candidates on the ballot in several statewide races. Stutzman blames that on the fact Democrats and independents outnumber Republican voters.
So there's this huge disincentive for quality candidates to come forward and spend the time and the emotional effort to run for an office that's virtually impossible to win.
Party Chair Jim Brulte says the answer is building from the ground up and recruiting strong candidates to run for local offices. The party meets for 3 days outside of San Francisco. Keynote speakers include former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and National Party Chair Reince Priebus. For the California Report, I'm Scott Detrow in Sacramento.
And now here's another in our occasional series on volunteers in California called The Giving State. Today we meet a senior caregiver from San Mateo who teaches sewing classes in San Francisco.
My name is Lisa Kolvitis, and I am the sewing workshop volunteer here at CAP, the Community Arts Program. What we do is we offer a safe place for artists to come to work on their projects free of charge. All the supplies are free as long as they use them here. So I step on the pedal for a couple of stitches. Paying attention?
Yeah, step on the pedal for a couple of stitches.
One, two, three. All right, and then I'm going to hit this button and hold it. It's the reverse. Push and hold. A few stitches back.
Oh.
Most people want repairs, mending. Even I know it's expensive to replace an item of clothing. If you can put a couple stitches in it and have it last you a couple more months, that's pretty valuable.
See how it sort of ends in a point here?
Okay.
So we want to just
extend it more.
Extend it a little longer so it's just a nice smooth line.
Oh, yeah.
Some days, every machine is going, and it's nice to hear. I'm like, oh, people are sewing.
They're working on something.
I figured the impact I have by helping one person, I don't even know how that's going to impact the rest of their lives, let alone the lives of the people around them. Yeah, it's like I'm able to affect a positive change in many lives.
Lisa Kolvitis was interviewed by our former intern, Peter Lalo. You can listen to this profile again and hear other profiles online at californiareport.org/givingstate. And that's the California Report for Friday, March 14th, the production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers this week were Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman, with additional engineering by Seal Muller. The directors are Tina Rubio and Guy Marzorati. Our interns are Matt Levin and Kate Hunts. We had editing help from Tyke Hendricks and Craig Miller. Nina Thorson is our producer. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment. Health happens in neighborhoods at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.